Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words, episode 100, part deux, episode 101.
Yeah, it's a two-parter. The first in this series.
Whoa. It might be a longer than a two-a-parter. It might be a three or a four-a-parter or a 73-a-parter.
Actually, this is just the rest of the show.
Yes.
No more guests, just us.
I'm sorry, everyone listening. I really am. You guys all fucked up.
Yeah. Keep listening. We'll keep coming back. We don't need guests. We're good.
Well, I spoke with Hunter about this, and he said, who he mentioned on the last show, Hunter Bergen, amazing dude. I mean, I guess I'm name dropping him right away, but literally yesterday, he's like, is this one of those episodes of a show when the writers run out of shit to do? So they you're laughing. When she laughs, that's good. When they run out of shit to do, so they have kind of like a compilation where they're in a room like, oh, do you remember those days? And then they play that part. But we're not doing that. We're reflecting on it.
If anything, this is the musical episode.
You're a musical episode.
Thank you.
So this is episode 100, part D, episode 101. So this is the 101th or the 101st episode of Waldman's Words, wherein we discuss prior guests and give shout-outs and give context. And, yeah, Emily, can you give a brief elevator pitch as to episode 100, which was just episode 100, part one? But it wasn't like Star Wars A New Hope. It was like, which is part four. It was just episode 100.
Well, the 100th episode, Spectacular, which if you were here last week or you listened to on iTunes or the Adobe app.
Yes. I appreciate you doing that. Keep going.
We talked about a bunch of previous guests. You know, we talked about Brandon Paddock. We talked about Kevin Lyman, the Warped Tour.
Wait. Brandon Paddock, remember what I told you when you drove me to the airport where I just was? Talk about that. Do you remember?
I remember his name being brought up.
Well, that's because I was at his fucking place, and fucking in a good way, but there was no sex. But it was like I went to his place literally at like 3 a.m. and we hung out for a few hours. So I'm just going to give Brandon another shout out.
Just bros being bros.
Yeah, just bros being bros, bro.
Guys being dudes.
Just dudes being bros. So Kevin Lyman was discussed, Brandon Paddock, a whole bunch of others. You could tune into that episode. I'd appreciate if you listen to this one first and then go backwards, because then you might learn less. I don't know. This is so fucking cool that I have this show. So again, thank you, Adobe, for giving me a format. Or giving us a format, because when you are not at Drexel/Temple, you are here. She gets that joke. You guys might not. Doesn't matter.
If you listen to the show.
Well, if they're listening to the show now, chances are they have. But if they haven't, welcome. You're here. I appreciate it. We appreciate every listener. We appreciate every message. We get a surprising amount of them. And we're booked out until November of 2019. That is not a joke. Your eyes just fucking popped out because, like, you see it. Tell the guests, well, the guests aren't here. Tell the people listening about the calendar invites you get from Scott Waldman at Waldman Management about Waldman's Words. And then we'll...
I get so many. What I have done is I've made a system now. Where I've created a system in my email where I have, like, accepted invites and, like, deleted invites and all that jazz. So I just go through at one time.
All that jazz. Like, yes. And we're recording the jazz episode. Well, it's not jazz like Miles Davis. Like,
yeah, onesie.
But we're recording an episode right after this. That's airing right before this. So, like, life is fucked up, man. That's the moral. Yeah. And my voice is still shot because I talk a lot. So you can't tell me to shut up now because I have to talk on the show. But, Emily, I'm expecting you to pull your weight and do some of Emily/Burke's words on this episode.
Actually talk. That'd be a great episode. That's the musical episode.
No, that's the musical episode. It would be if you sang. And it was kind of like an episode of Glee where you sing Journey songs.
I loved Glee until, like...
Why do you stop? Season. Why do people stop loving what they've loved? I still love MC Hammer, and I resent you right now.
I didn't finish Glee. Sorry, everybody.
Sorry, everybody, Glee.
Yeah, I think I left after you missed the Britney episode because that's all
You
I
missed
needed.
That joke. Lido Beach, for the record, Darren... Yeah, over your head. Darren Criss from Glee opened for Lido Beach once.
No way!
And on that note... Back at, I'm serious. You can look on my Facebook. There's flyers. Him. Yeah, no, he had a lot of Glee. What's the Glee fan base called? Like Glee fan? Yeah. Gleeks. Well, Gleek out with Waldman's words. Stick around. Hello. We are back. I hope you enjoyed gleeking out. I hope that you enjoy doing whatever you were doing during those amazing commercials, amazing songs, and or amazing bathroom breaks.
Or if you're listening to the podcast, how was that noise?
What are you talking about?
There's like a pause sound that I add into
Oh my God. Yeah, but you actually did that like for the JJ. I'm going to out you right now. For what the JJ Kasiri, you did it too soon. So I listened to it and it was like, so the back.
No.
Why'd you do that?
That was the edit, the mic cutout.
Oh, of course. Accountability, biggest issue in this industry.
Here's what's up. I'm the best editor in the entire world and nothing is wrong.
You're my best editor. But I don't own you, again. You are the best editor for services here. And for the record, I will say this on the air so everyone is listening if I haven't yet. I might have even said it the last week. I might not have. As of July 1st, Emily Burke is a full-time assistant for Waldman Management / Waldman's Words.
I'm like a human with a job.
And Emily Burke also is about to start her senior year in college, and she is still going to be a full-time assistant.
Basically, Emily Burke is going to die.
That's like John Tucker Must Die.
Well,
that's
a great movie.
I mean, great is subjective, but Emily Burke, there's no subjectiveness about this. Objectively, you're fucking great. So anyway, let's talk about other great guests. So what's crazy is this guy, Daniel Rubin, so please mark this down, Miss Emily Burke, which I see you're doing. I see you. Daniel Rubin was on the show a while back, and I believe that was the very first time that I met him in person. Mr. Rubin manages a band that I really, really like, and I really like Too Close to Touch when you work for Epitaph. I do.
Yeah.
But that's not who I'm talking about.
That was my favorite Epitaph band at the time, just saying.
That's great. I mean, Daniel, so an intern at Epitaph, because Emily did that.
Hi.
Literally said that. And I'll go say this on record. I love them. They're one of my favorite newer bands on Epitaph. I'd say like Bad Religion and Rancid and the bands like, and Offspring, you know, those are like the premier ones for me, but I'm also older. This is perfect for your demographic, but for any demographic. Again, I'm 37. I the Mighty is one of my most favorite bands in modern rock. And I stand by that.
I liked their single. Did you see the video for Chaos in Motion?
No.
If you haven't seen it, this is for everybody. It's the most frustrating thing I've ever watched in my entire life.
Is that a really good advert? This is what you do.
Yes. No, it is.
What you're literally saying the most frustrating. Like, lead with good.
The song is amazing. It's supposed to be frustrating.
Okay.
It's just, like, stuff that, like...
What album is it on? Is it on their newest record?
Yeah, I think
so. Okay, their newest record is great, but I mean, I really do like it. I do. But what got me into them was the Karma EP when I saw them open for Armor for Sleep, and I thought that they honestly fucking destroyed them. I'll say that again on record. And
their songs are just good.
Their songs are so good. I'm a musician, and we're an actress, but we know a little bit about music, and I'm telling you, those songs are hard as fuck to play. Hard as fuck to execute. So I just want to say that you can make pop means popular, right? Mm-hmm. So you can make pop music that is very musically challenging. So shout out to Daniel for managing them. Shout out to Eric Ron for producing them. And shout out to Brent Walsh for creating a sick record called Seven. But in addition to every single one of their albums, I love. But Satori, that's my shit. So thank you. Comment further.
I the Mighty is great. Love that song. Please watch the video. It's a really beautiful video, but it's supposed to be frustrating, which is what makes it so beautiful.
Why do you got to focus on that again?
Because that's it. That's the video. Like, all right. That's how.
Well, speaking of that's it, let's wrap this segment on Daniel. Daniel, Mishbucha, Lacha Mishbuchesed, Bacha Luchuhi. Thank you. Thanks. Johnny Minardi is definitely not Jewish. So I'll just lead with that.
Know.
No, I know he's not. But Johnny Minardi is responsible for probably 1/5, and that's a big number.
Yeah.
20%.
I feel like Johnny Minardi is one of those guys that he's involved with everything. He's probably like the most important man that you've never heard of.
No, but people are definitely hearing of him now. But yeah. I just want to say, like, you're right. But 1/5, what I was trying to say before I was rudely interrupted, and when I rudely interrupt you. No, I accept your apology. Accountability. See, that's something that the music industry doesn't lack, and I've actually spoken about this with Johnny. Emily has it, and she's fucking 21. There's people that don't have accountability that are, like, in their 50s, and I'm like, how the fuck do you live? So, Emily, I'm sorry for all my transgressions, but that's a bullshit general apology. I'm sorry. So, but I'm not sorry that I had Johnny Minardi on this show. He was one of the earlier episodes, like Daniel Rubin, and at the time, he was A&R at Equal Vision and managing. But before that, let's just go before. He was at Fueled by Ramen, which he's back. Guess who's back?
I think back he just again. Celebrated his like 1 year back there.
Too. Yeah, I know, but that was after the show, you know, aired. So, yeah, and you're right. And I love that you fucking care and do your research, Emily Burke. So, high five. Boom. Johnny Minardi is responsible for the Academy is doing well. Believe it or not, guys. He discovered the band and signed it to, I believe it was Little League Records, his label, and eventually worked for Fueled by Ramen and worked with a million bands there. Is a producer manager, actually, to Brandon Paddock, who was mentioned earlier, so it's all very cyclical. And he's just a really good, honest guy, sincerely. And he's a father and a loving, doting one. So shout out to his daughter, Sutton. Shout out to his wife. Nicole, it's crazy. I know these names because we speak. So Sutton, Nicole, good future club, and now restate the Fueled by Ramen thing.
He just celebrated his 1 year at Fueled by Ramen.
Doing what?
He is A&R, right?
Yeah, I believe he's senior A&R. That's why.
Even better.
And Fueled by Ramen, some of the more recent successes at Fueled by Ramen pre him is this small band called 21 Pilots who just released new stuff and already breaking records on it. But I guess one that really I've connected with recently for him, I'll talk about the Fueled by and Roadrunner because he does both. I'd say the Fever 333 is kind of like, because you might know about Let Live. So I'd say if it was like Let Live merged with Rage Against the Machine. And I actually went to their second show ever and was blown the fuck away. And Johnny is the A&R for them, for Roadrunner, which is the same. Like, he does that and Fueled by. And there's this project called Grandson that my wife loves. And I like it. But my wife loves it. And that's so cool to me because we don't often agree on music. So check out Grandson. Check out the Fever 333. Check out Good Future Club. And check out any one word that Emily says right now.
Yeah, check out Johnny Minardi's Twitter is popping.
It be popping.
Yeah.
So I guess next, this was, we stopped doing this after a while because I don't know if any of you have ever been on a conference call, but calls with two people have a sea of interruptions as evidenced by Emily interrupting me very rudely earlier.
Yeah.
Well, and me doing it way more to her, like just now. See what I did there? And I'm sorry, but we stopped doing the two, but I'm still honored and happy that we did these two. Eric Drogomoller, I still fuck up his name, so I'm just going to say EZED, and Mark Woodbridge, I definitely didn't fuck up his name, at Word is Bond Management. And just so you know, I like Eric, I do. I love Mark. I really love Mark. Mark is a good guy. Mark comes from the same world that I do, being in a band, and that's had marginal level of success. And now Mark is seeing the fruits of his labors. Literally last week alone, two bands that he co-manages with Eric, and I'm not diminishing Eric. I'm just saying I know Mark better because we actually got off the phone yesterday. He's one of my favorite managers in the industry. I'll say that without a shirt. You're my favorite person in the industry, Emily, in the entire, from 2003 when I moved here till now, and I'm saying that on record so everyone hears it, literally my favorite person in the entire industry. Thanks. And that was not resting bitch face or voice, so you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm sorry. But Mark Woodbridge is probably a top 10 manager for me, sincere, and two bands that he's with that he manages, you know, just signed with Pure Noise and with Equal Vision, but I'm just going to give him one specialer shout-out because I'm looking at my phone right now because Mark and I have spoken oft spoken about people purchasing digital music, and I just bought this thing called the Youth Fountain EP, and I really like it, and it's the band Youth Fountain on Pure Noise. So Do you have any comments on Word is Bond or Eric or Mark?
I think just Mark Woodbridge, his like stuff, it always shows up on my like Explore page or like my Twitter feed. Like, I feel like he's just everywhere. So that guy is like,
dude's a fucking hustler.
Yeah.
And so is Eric. I don't want to diminish Eric, but I talked to Mark more in 1 week than I talked to Eric total. I've spoken with him on the phone 2 or 3 times, and he's always awesome. But Mark's the fucking blood homie. So, and I've also hung out with him in person. So shout out to Word is Bond. Shout out to Eric. Shout out to Mark. Good people, which I think is more important than the product.
True.
I really do. And speaking of good people, let's do another Mishbuchas, because, well, Mishbuchas is kind of like the plural. We did Daniel Rubin, who's a nice Jewish boy. And here's another nice Jewish boy, Dan Suriff, who I guess the two of us really have a strong affinity for the punk and the rock.
Yeah.
And I just had a really, really nice pizza lunch with him. And I'm not going to discuss who dropped the pizza there. I will not say that on record, that the pizza was dropped by one of the people in the room. And that one person was definitely not the person speaking. I'm not going to say who it was who dropped the pizza. It definitely was not Scott Waldman. I'm not going to say who dropped the pizza. But I will say that Dan is honest. You're laughing. I love this. That means I'm doing either well or not. Dan is honest. He's hardworking. He's no bullshit. And he works in the fucking metal world. That's a world. I mean, I do work with Ricky Armolino, but I don't really know much about that world. But I do know about the world of good people. And Dan came from the banking industry. And he fucking, metaphorically to me, makes bank. I'm a huge fan of this dude. And a special shout out to Chris, who will address either this episode or another one, who also works at Mercenary Management and is the head of Legend Recordings that I A&R for. But Dan's a good fucking dude, and we both love The Offspring. What do you have to say about that?
I also like The Offspring, but...
Thank you.
Dan is also the manager for...
BVB?
Black Veil Brides.
R.I.P. Whoa, jinx.
Crazy. But they're having a show at like the
Roxy. They're having several shows all over.
Which looks sick, but I'm not going to be in the state for, so that sucks. But
I will. If you
are in the state for, like, go to those, because like the Roxy is
probably sold out by now. But if you're, true. I mean, well, fuck StubHub. I'll say that on record. They take advantage of kids and people with money, and people buy tickets to... We were talking with Tom about this, how like I kind of went, we both went on rants last time. So I'm going to go on a rant right now. You people who buy tickets just to sell them for double or triple or more are ruining this fucking live music industry. You're sick. Let people buy tickets that want to go to the shows. I understand capitalism, I do, but I also understand sleeping soundly. And you are literally, like, obviously it's not like a Donald Trump fucking crime. And it's not like all these other crimes that are happening, but you're taking away from a fan. And I can tell you as a music fan that I still am, some of the best experiences of my life. Now it's harder to enjoy concerts because I'm in the industry. And I think about like the sound and the merch and all that shit. And I wish I didn't. But when I was a kid and I was really connected, you could have potentially robbed me of that connection, because what connections I had? I'd ask my parents use their credit cards for Ticketmaster, or I had to go to the box office with cash, which, believe it or not, existed. And people who go on StubHub for shows like Black Veil Brides at the Roxy, which is clearly a way small venue for them, fuck you. Here to comment, Emily.
I remember when I was first, you know, like starting out in the industry and kind of figuring out that music was what I wanted to do with my life, I wanted to just go see as many shows as possible. But I would always, like, because I was a teenager, like, I was never going to spend.
You were literally just a teenager, just so you know. Yeah. Like, you're a year and change away from not being a teenager. It's pretty, I'm so jealous of you. Continue. Sorry. I'm jealous of Jew. Go. Sorry.
But I would, like, I think my cap was, like, I would never pay $30 for a ticket. And, like, a show.
Because you couldn't, or because you had a moral... like vendetta against it?
I think both.
Okay.
Where it's like, I'd feel bad if I spent more than $30 on a ticket.
I feel
like,
bad if I owe someone $1.
Yeah. So I didn't want to do
why
that.
Why did you dismiss that with a yeah? That deserves an acknowledgement, Emily. I'm insecure.
Sorry.
But okay, I accept your apology. And I accept, and also, just so people hear, this show is barely edited. There's a slight edit on this that you will never fucking know about because...
Well, now they will.
No, but they will never know the specifics.
Oh, yeah.
True point.
Try to hear it. Try to find the cut.
You might. And if you do, props to Jew.
Wow. But...
Sorry. No, and I'm not... Good. It's not a sorry, not sorry. This is sorry.
Like, shows at the Roxy and stuff like that, if you're not familiar with, like, L.A. or you're not from here, the Roxy is a small venue. Like, a ticket there should not be more than $30 unless it's, like, a special event.
Yes. And I have a feeling this show is more than that, but...
Yeah,
yes.
Well, it's a very special
It's a special event. It's a limited engagement.
And I remember they would always sell out so fast, and they'd be going for, like, $50, $60 on StubHub, and it just, like, wasn't...
It's fucked up.
You can't do that.
It's like, scalping on the internet.
Yeah, there's literally people out there where it's like, because I was homeschooled. I didn't have anything else to do. Like, this was, like, what I did. This
You're
was me.
A prime example. I'm pointing, but not pointing. My hand is in the air. Of someone that this adversely affects.
Yeah. Like, if I wasn't able to, like, get these tickets and go to these shows, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today.
You're SOL. Like, yeah. Shit out of luck. And you know what? I just want you to know that that is literally case in point. That is an anthropological analysis. So we'll get back to Dan in a second, but please don't be a dick. Either buy a ticket or not, or find another way to make money. I'd rather, honestly, you do Shakeology, and I'm not into that. Like, fucking, like, stop robbing people from experiences, because in the end, that's all we have. For my honeymoon, we didn't want gifts. We wanted money towards my honeymoon. And our honeymoon was 100% paid for, and I think 10 out of 10 people were like, holy fuck, that's a good idea. I'm like, yeah, you should do it yourself when you get married. If you're lucky enough to have someone get you a gift, don't want a toaster. Unless you really need it, people are going to find a way to be offended by this, because people get offended in 2008 by literally everything, sometimes justified. Ugh, it's exhausting. But life is exhausting now. But Honey Fund was great for me. Experiences, don't go to fucking StubHub. So Dan, back to Dan. Sorry for the tangent. Ha ha ha. Dan is awesome. He and I really have a lot in common. And you should definitely, if you're in a band and you're managed by Dan, you're a lucky motherfucker. And I'm still waiting for that coffee, Mr. Dan. So we're going to talk about one more person. And then we'll take a short break. And oh my God, that couldn't have gone better. We're going to take a short Blake.
Oh my God.
Because this is, yeah, dude. Blake Cordero, who I just saw last week, but it won't be last week when this airs. But we're going to take a short Blake after this. Blake Cordero actually is just a talented guy behind the scenes in pretty much every avenue, between publicity, between doing stuff at Warped Tour on stage as a guitar tech, on stage as just like maybe assistant stagehand, whatever title you want. Blake can do fucking anything. And most importantly to me, which rhymes with nominee, Blake co-manages the band Nominee, and I fucking love that band. Here to comment.
Blake, I remember this episode because he was like the first guy that we've had on the show that was like a real just road warrior. Like, he's just
wow, like, that's really astute. That might be true.
Yeah,
like he fucking grinds.
Yeah, he's
like coffee that I'm at requesting from Dan.
is he on the Warped Tour this year?
Yes, he's on the Oli or Owly stage. I literally just saw him there. He's running shit there, and I saw Make Out on that stage, Sleep on It on that stage. My boy Ron, shout out to Ron Ish from the band As It Is. My boy, my boy, my boy, my boy. But Blake, what a fucking guy. And off the record, and on the record, well, it's not off the record if I say it, yeah. So I fucked up. Sorry. He actually worked kind of as a manager for Lido, I'm rebranding it, project. But this is an example of what the kind of guy he is. It didn't work out, but he's still my boy. So I think Blake likes Lido Beach a little bit, but I like Blake a lot.
I like Blake, too. We've never met, but you sound cool.
He is cool. So we're going to take a short break. Or Blake, do you have one word to describe this segment?
Informational.
Sweet. Stick around for Waldman's Words with informational words. Hello. We are back with episode 100. Part Deux, episode 101. Is that a mouthful?
It's definitely long.
That's what she said?
Cool.
Fuck. Do you have to edit that out? No, we're going to keep that. We're going to keep that. We're going to fucking keep that. We edited out something else that we realized would make both Emily and I look bad because this is my show. Moo-ha-ha-ha-ha, and you'll never know. And if you ask, both of us will deny to the grave.
I also edit these shows.
So. You do? Why do you keep talking about yourself on Waldman's Words? This is not Burke's Words. This is Waldman's Words featuring Emily Burke. But
well, it's just the two of us. This is your
just the
show,
two of us.
So I'm technically a guest.
This is our show. You are technically a guest, and you have technically been a guest talking about yourself. But for the record, again, I will never stop giving Emily Burke shout-outs, even though she will always stop giving me them. I will say this right now, that Emily Burke, this show would not exist without her. She is doing all the behind-the-scenes rigmarole, and I'm eternally grateful, so thank you.
Aw, thanks for having
me. That resting bitch aw. Like, seriously, like, say something really nice to me right now that's sincere, please, and I will imitate what it feels like to be on the recipient end.
I like your shirt today.
Okay.
I say thanks.
Fine, do it again. Let's say something else. It's an Ice Nine Kills shirt, by the way. Go, say something else.
I appreciate you, and thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what it's like. One word answers. No, but for the record, I know you do and I appreciate you. So we're going to start this segment with another buddy homie who I would probably put in my top 10 managers. And that's Mr. Morgan Carney, who is currently Nashville based, recently married. I believe he got married after we did the show because it was a while back. Used to work at Rockettown, where he actually help facilitate a Lido Beach acoustic show, and is an artist manager, did talent buying there, does a million behind the scenes things for actually a lot of major legacy acts and comedians and people in the Christian scene. And I just want to say that this is an example of an agnostic Jew getting along with a devout Christian and just being people. And that's the thing. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all people. He's just a good fucking guy, like a really, really, really good guy, hardworking, sincere, honest, and kind. And people can get along with people of all creeds, of all ethnicities, of all sexes. And I'm saying all sexes of everything, if they're just nice people and that's there. So I'm going to say on record that Morgan Carney is a fucking awesome guy, and he would never use the word fuck on the air. But he's a fucking freaking awesome dude. I'm sure an incredible husband. And in Nashville, we had barbecue, which is more Southern, and Mexican, which is definitely more West Coast together. And I would honestly say, on the record, the barbecue there was way better than the Mexican food there. So,
I believe it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know you're not Mexican.
Yeah.
But you have some Latina.
Yes.
So look at that.
Correct.
So I would say that and you also grew up in Southern California, so you definitely know Mexican food, much like I know Italian food.
Yeah, I don't know Italian food that much.
Oh, I do.
Not only because I'm not from New York, but I also don't like tomatoes, and that's kind of a hefty part of Italian.
I don't like tomatoes or onions, which are hefty parts of pretty much everything, but when I don't see the tomato, when I know it's like pureed or mixed or whatever, I'm cool with it. But if there's ever like a sun-dried tomato on a slice of pizza, I will vomit. Yeah, thank you. Bye. And onions, record, I will vomit and diarrhea at the same time. I know that's gross. I'm sorry, but that's what's going to happen. So fuck onions, fuck tomatoes, love Morgan Carney.
Yes.
So I guess let's talk about the next guest, and it'll be a brief one and then a long one. So, Fish's real name is Mike Fishkin, but for all intents and purposes, he's Fish.
It's Fish. It's just Fish.
And Fish is, honestly, aside from Waldman's Words, Gone Fishkin's my favorite show in Idovie. And I mean it. And I know I gave Patrick Walford a shout out, and I did, and I meant it. And Patrick Walford, last episode, shout out again. You are the first person to welcome me to Idovie, not as Tom, you know, like the first person on staff. But Fish was in the room recording all these shows, and he gave me some really good tips, and I'll say this, he's really fucking good at this, and he knows a lot of people, and he is a very good interviewer. I'm being sincere as fuck. There's going to be no jokes here. He works hard. He travels a lot. He is another Long Island boy, and he has been through some really, really, really fucked up stuff, like me with my father. But I would argue that his is worse, because his father was helping people during 9/11 and tragically died recently. My father, it's really sad. It is. He smoked, though. So essentially, like, I feel worse for people. I do. Who lose a parent or a friend or a sibling or anyone. Because all losses are the same. I don't like when people one down each other. Like, oh, you lost your cousin? Well, I lost my dad. That's fucking sick. Not in a good way sick. Like, sick, sick, demented. You should be ashamed of yourself. But, like, for a tragedy, like, I know that you might argue that this is a contradiction, but I don't think it is. I think it's worse. I do, when someone had nothing to do with it. Like, I think it's really sad when, you know, someone loses a child, or when someone gets killed in a car accident, or someone completely out of their control dies. And he was saving people, Fish's dad. I never met him, but I want to give that guy the biggest hug ever. And with all this stuff, Fish is just a badass motherfucker. He's been through some shit, and he's definitely come out as on top as you can with such a significant loss. And he's really, really good, I'm restating, at working at Adobe. He does a lot of socials, and his show Gone Fishkin is my second favorite show in Adobe. Care to comment?
I mean, you went pretty deep, and I think you went pretty good. Any interaction?
Deep like water for Fish.
Every interaction I've had with Fish has been a good one. You know, I've seen him in the studio.
We just had a text one. We literally just did. Don't point. So,
but I don't know which number is yours, but you're one of those numbers.
What does that mean?
I don't have his number saved.
Oh.
There's two other people.
I'll let you know. I do. I have their number saved. So sorry, Fish and Tom. I have your number, and I got your number. But again, Fish, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, his show's great.
Gone Fishkin's an awesome show. Please tune into it. He has every single band on the fucking planet on that
literally,
show.
Literally.
Everyone.
It's also like big bands and then small bands too that are really good.
It's insane. Well, sometimes the best interviews are with bands that are smaller because they're less jaded to interviews. But sometimes, you know, bands I've been doing forever. Essentially, I found in my industry, well, this industry, radio / music, whatever it is, which is not mine. Again, my fucking God. In 2018, I literally have to do that preamble. But in this industry, a lot of times, the most successful people are the most kind. And not, like, you can be firm and kind. You can be loose and kind. But, like, and there are definitely some really insanely successful musicians that, like, are fucking awful people. There are. But, I mean, sorry, Chris Brown, fuck you. Sorry, you beat the shit out of a woman. Fuck you, Chris Brown. The fact that people still listen to his music, judge me all you want for that. Fuck you. But is disgusting, and I'm all for, you know, people turning their lives around, but the guy literally, like, has done, like, victim blaming, has default to responsibility. Anyway, fuck Chris Brown. Back to Fish. Back to the bands. This show is also sponsored by Appropriate Tangents.
Yes.
And with Fish, I mean, or bands in general, like, sometimes the largest bands in the world are just cool as fuck. And I'm not going to name drop the coolest fuck ones, because I already spoke about Hunter in the last show. He's in AFI, which is bigger than pretty much every band we mentioned on this, and he's so nice. So Fish interviews all of them, the nice ones, the mean ones, the everything ones, and he still is really great. He has composure and he has character. So shout out to Fish, and again, the most special shout out on the show is to his father. And I know that he has a mother, I know he has a sister, and they're important too. But a big special shout out to anyone who helped during September 11th, 2001. So I actually want to do like a 5-second moment of silence for that. For the record, that was not planned. And sometimes the best moments are the real sincere ones. And That was honestly one of my favorite moments of this entire fucking show. Not episode 100, part two, episode 101, but, like, of Walden's words. And I didn't expect that. So, care to comment on that?
I think that was really nice.
See, that was not resting bitch voice. That was sincere. That's what I want.
I could be sincere.
Sometimes. I know you can. You are sincere. You're sincerely awesome. So, now here is, I would say, my second favorite person in this music industry. Emily Burke, I'm staring at her right now, my number one. Mike Kubios. Without a shred of doubt, a very close second. He'll always finish second to Emily.
Sorry, Mike.
But you will rise above everyone else. Mike Kubios and I co-manage a band called Stringer, who is amazing, who literally tomorrow, where tomorrow won't be tomorrow. Tomorrow will be like months after tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's weird. But tomorrow I'm flying to Massachusetts and New York. Shout out to Leah Urbano at Crimson Management, who she was one of the later shows. But she helped get Stringer. Actually didn't help. She did get Stringer on the Massachusetts Crimson stage at Warped. And shout out to Mike Cubillo, Steph Mirsky, who is a later guest. Kevin Lyman, who we literally spoke about earlier. And Vans Warped Tour for giving Stringer a chance to play the Full Sail stage. By the time this airs, they will have done it and still be smiling about it. But most importantly, back to Mike. Mike is the fucking shit. Mike is an incredible father, husband, and man. And Mike did the publicity for the band that I was in, the City Drive, in the mid-2000s, but he's been doing it since the 90s. Mike is, by definition, and he actually resented this term, and he gave me shit, or maybe didn't resent it, maybe kind of gave me shit about it, and it's a term that Emily used, that I used with him, and I took the fall for it, which was industry veteran.
Oh, I sorry.
Yeah, so can you apologize to Mike on the air for that?
I apologize, Mike. I ran out of adjectives along the way after 100 shows.
Yeah, well, let's see, like... There's only so many times you could say brilliant, and I hate when it's on a movie billboard. What?
Is that like a bad thing?
No. The thing is that it's a bad thing to some. If someone called me an industry veteran, I'd say you're fucking wrong, but thank you. But yeah. Some people who are a little bit older might be like, "What do you mean veteran?" So you can't, no matter what, you can't please. I'm cool with that term. And for the record, Mike is too. I think he was just giving me shit. So let's go back to Compliment City, Population Mike. So I have so much love for him, and he has been in this industry much longer than I have. I've been managing for 3 years, and I have been in this industry technically. I mean, I'm not going to count my bands from college, high school, or whatever, even though someone could argue that. I'm going to count as an adult when I moved here at 22, older than you, Emily.
Yeah.
So I've been in the industry technically since 2003 when I moved here, joined a band, and did that whole thing. And that band, City Drive, you know, had Mike as a publicist through, we are a subsidiary of Columbia, and currently Mike also does publicity work for my project that literally like 2 days from today, which is going to be long gone, is coming out officially, Lido Beach. But fuck my relations to Mike until, I mean, we'll say this quickly and then we'll talk about him again. Mike came to me and wanted to manage a band with me, and I'm still, we've been doing it for almost a year with Stringer. But this was over a year ago, and I'm still, so I was confused. I was like, dude, like, why me? Like, you know every manager, and, like, this is not a humble brag. This was a sincere, and it still is. It's like, I'm still grateful to this. I can't believe you took a chance on me, and we do it 50-50, and we co-manage Stringer, and shout out to Mark Fletcher from Stringer. Shout out to Riley. Shout out to Max. Shout out to Johnny. Shout out to Rob Castiglione, who was on the show. Shout out to Jasmine. We can't do this alone. Shout out to Emily again for helping. But another special shout out to Mark Fletcher. I'll give him that. My favorite and my least favorite client. I love you. And I really do. I don't use the word love unless I mean it. And Mike Kubios is just a fucking... He is literally one of the greatest people I've ever met. Care to comment?
I agree. I think Mike Kubios, like... Besides from you, is definitely one of the other people in this industry that I like really look up to. Because he has
whoa. Whoa, wait. Before you talk about him, like, why do you look up to me? What?
Yeah. Well, you're also taller than me.
Again, diminishing. I was just so taken aback by the compliment. And then you fucking literally kicked me in the balls, metaphorically. Continue. Talk about Mike. Or you could say
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, Mike, whatever. But honestly, like, I think he's, like, ever since I started working with you, I think Mike Abuse has always kind of, like, been there. Like, he's always...
He wasn't there, though, like, when we... Because I've been working with you for 2 years now, right?
Yeah.
And Mike's only been a year. So he was there in terms of he was a publicist I knew and respected. And he... The project that shall not be named, I had a band on In Vogue Records. Shout out to Nick Moore. You know, I did that earlier. And now I manage Jess Coppins, and we'll leave it at that. But I worked... Is that probably why you were acquainted with him?
Yeah, I just know that I had interaction. I've seen the name, like, ever since I can remember, like, working with you. And he does so much. So much. And he's, like, always on top of his shit. And he's very nice in text threads, which I appreciate.
He's just nice in general, yeah, though. Because both Emily and I have dealt with multiple people in threads.
Mm-hmm.
That have not been multiple.
Yeah. But, you know, Mike's on top of his shit.
Mike is the shit and on top of his.
Yes.
So that's a really good doo-doo note to leave on. So I guess we'll just wrap this up with my man Curtis Douglas. We were not going to talk about the project that we co-managed together that eventually is going to take over the world. I hope. I really do. I'm just going to talk about Curtis at length right now. This Rangus is getting married to an incredible, incredible girl named Jacqueline. Woman named Jacqueline. Both Curtis and Jacqueline are extremely compassionate, intelligent, and hospitable. I've stayed at their place. Curtis has stayed at mine. But let's talk music. I have been recording music. I'm gonna even go before 2003. I've been recording music as a musician. And I'm not going to count anything that's not like a studio recording. My first studio recording experience was literally in, I believe it was in the 90s or like either 99 or 2000. Let's even say it's 2000. It was right after my freshman year of college. So this century, I started pretty much the beginning of the century. And he actually worked with this century, the band this century. So I started recording music in the year 2000. And I've worked with many different people behind the boards. And I can say without a shred of doubt that Curtis Douglas, I honestly think, is the best vocal producer on the planet. On the planet. And there's producers right now who are doing it on their laptops, and no disrespect to them. Some people are creating global hits on their laptops. And there's producers that work in mega, mega studios. Curtis has an incredible studio in Arizona. You know, he really does. It's in Tempe. He lives in Scottsdale. Incredible studio. Like state of the art, incredible. But I'm talking about, like, there's bigger ones and there's bigger everything. But there's no one I've ever seen or worked with that is better with vocal takes, vocal production, and harmony than Curtis. No one. Curtis is literally a god amongst men with this. And the Lido Beach song, You Fell Hard, which I can speak to directly because it's the song that he did a lot of the writing on, most of the writing. I'll admit it. He did. That whole story is another fucked up story, but he came out on top and helped me not fall hard. Curtis Douglas is the most talented vocal producer I've ever met. And I hope that the world knows this, and I hope that 2019 is the year that he wins a fucking Grammy and that he is recognized globally, because I think that he literally deserves the world. Care to comment?
That was so sweet.
Thank you. I'm glad that we're ending on like a sweet note. And I mean it. Curtis, if you're listening, Jacqueline, if you're listening, anyone who's listening, I mean it. Yeah. I am in awe of his talent, and I'm an uber Curtis Douglas fanboy.
I mean, I know Curtis. I don't think I have as much to say about him as you do, but...
Well, I would hope not.
Yeah. But you're a cool dude, Curtis.
I mean, can you do something slightly better than that to wrap it up? Like, I mean, I want to end on a really good note. I mean, you're a cool dude is cool, but What I mean, that's honestly, what do you think of his? Me. What do you think? Well, yeah, but like, pretend it's coming from someone else. You could talk about You Fell Hard. You could talk about your dealings with him and the project that shall not be named.
Yes.
Mr. DP and JC, not Jesus. Yeah. What do you have to say about Curtis? Because he's so smart, too.
Yeah, I only have good things to say about Curtis. You know, there's this project that cannot be named.
That should not be
named. That should not be named.
It could be.
But, you know, I think that's the first time, because I knew him as a producer, and then when you started working together is when I really started to, like, get to know Curtis more. And he's a very, like, passionate guy as well. Like, you know, like, this is something that he really feels strongly about. And I look forward to working with him more.
Me too.
Yeah.
Curtis, you are loved. We love you. Rangus Dangus, Kangus Glangus. So that's it. This is episode 100, part due, episode 101. So I told you, like, I mean, I'm looking right now and we're currently, that was like episode 37. So we have a lot more work to do.
Oh.
To do. But I'm very happy because I feel each person got their due. Their due. Care to comment?
I hope that the people who we talked about listen to this episode too, because it's just one big, like.
Well, you're going to give them shout outs on all the social medias. We're going to tag them all on all of it.
Yes.
Every single one of them. And hopefully they have reblogged or whatever. I hope so. I mean, it only helps you.
I know all their social medias because I cyber-stalked everyone before the show.
Again, shout out to Emily Burke. I don't like the word stalk. I think it has a negative connotation. So I'm going to say you did adequate research. There's a huge disparity.
Weird.
Really?
Yeah, saying like I researched someone as to like, oh,
this is a generational divide. Yeah. This is a way, like I can tell you right now because like I'm going to read this right now. Let me look up the word stalk.
Because, like, stalk is like, oh, his favorite animal is like a koala bear. Whereas, like, research is like his blood type.
Pursue or approach stealthily is the first definition. Second definition is stride somewhere in a proud, stiff, or angry manner. I see that's fucking negative as fuck. And I don't care. Wait. Research. Careful study that is done to find and report new knowledge about something. The activity of getting information about a subject. All right, so you can ask probably 133,000 people, and most people, I'm not even going to say all of them, except for Emily fucking Burke, would prefer being called, like, being researched than stalked. You're nuts.
I mean, research feels like medical or, like,
okay, it feels clinical. It feels clinical. Yeah. Well, stalking feels fucking creepy.
Well, they don't know that I'm going.
That's even worse. All right, we're done with this episode before she incriminates herself further. And, you know, she's a lawyer's kid, Emily Burke, so she'll argue anything. Shout out to Robert Burke. Let's close this out with a shout out to Robert Burke. You're awesome, and you were at Alito Beach show in New York City along with your wife. I haven't met Emily's sister. So
you don't want to.
Oh, that's fucked up. All right, the adjective I will give to describe this show is sincere. So every single Tuesday nights, 5 o'clock, like I see I'm stammering because this is emotional. I'm going to say it again, but don't edit this. Every single Tuesday night, or please don't edit it. Every single Tuesday night at 5 o'clock our time, Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time, Waldman's Words airs. Next week's episode will literally be a continuation of this. Episode 100, part trois, episode 103. Let's go with the French. And every Sunday, bright and early, 5 a.m. our time Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern, go on iTunes, podcast app, subscribe, go on adobe.com, stream. Last word, Emily.
Goodbye.